I'm Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon to start your week feeling uplifted and optimistic. Let's tap into the universal energy that connects us all. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you may be listening to this on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver or on CBFX 92.5 FM in Kamloops, CFIS 93.1 in Prince George, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And that's right, two new stations have picked up the show. So hello, Kamloops, and hello, Prince George, British Columbia. I'm so excited to have you with me each week now. And so today's guest is actually on the way to the studio, and I'm not quite sure where she is. So in the meantime, I'm going to play a song. This is by Mark Stanton Welsh. The album is called Holy Cafe, and the song is No Matter What. And Mark Stanton Welsh is actually an educator and a musician who works with Unity Churches. They're a non-denominational Christian church. You may or may not have heard of them, especially if you listen to this show, you've probably heard of him. And I met him a couple months back, and he did a concert, and I said, hey, give me your CDs and I'll play them on the show. So here he is, Mark Stanton Welsh, here on Synchronicity.
Oh, it's somewhere and it's sometime, an unfamiliar trail, a hopeful destination, a half-lived fairy tale, and I'm on the road, and a feeling lights my way. No matter what unfolds, I'll be okay. And the highway pulls me onward, I'm beckoned by the moon. There's an answer in here somewhere, everything's a clue, and I am on the road. Though a part of me it kicks and screams to stay, I know no matter what, I'll be okay. All the traveling, it's lonely, it's forever at this wheel. I relive some lost affection as I search for something real, and I'm on the road. Oh, I just might lose my way, but I know no matter what, I'll be okay. Oh, I'll be okay. I'll be okay. Is this the promise of tomorrow?
Is this the promise of tomorrow?
Is this the future's luring call? Is this my ticket to the golden gate of heaven? Or just my last hurrah? All the miles move like clockwork, there's nothing to impede. I'm trusting in God's highway, I'm moving at full speed, and I'm on the road. And this could be my perfect day, for I know no matter what, I'll be okay. Oh, it's people and it's places, it's the highway's haunting song, it's the wisdom of experience that pulls this man along. And I'm on the road, and all that I can say is I know no matter what, I'll be okay.
I will be okay.
a hope for destination, a half-lived fairy tale.
And welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and today we are joined by Isha Judd. She is the author of Love Has Wings, Free Yourself from Limiting Beliefs and Fall in Love with Life. And she's also the author of Why Walk When You Can Fly. She's the founder of Isha Educating for Peace, and she travels throughout the world teaching diverse groups, including prisoners, ex-guerrilla soldiers, troubled youth, and the general public. And she's from Australia, but her organization, you're in Uruguay now. Yes, correct. So, and we're also joined here with her friend Arthur. Hello. And
hello.
So you have an event tonight in Vancouver?
Yeah, Isha's going to be speaking in the Vancouver Public Library at 7 p.m. It's a free event in the Alice McKay Room, which is on the lower level of the Central Library.
Wonderful. And that's the downtown big one?
That's right, yes.
Tonight at 7 o'clock. Okay, so remind me if I forget to announce it again.
Sure.
Later on in the hour. So, Love Has Wings. I spoke with you a couple of years ago on the show over the phone. It's nice to see you face to face.
Thank you.
And you were talking about Why Walk When You Can Fly, which was introducing your method for healing. So maybe before we talk about this new book, you give us a little bit of background on the Isha healing method that you use.
Okay, so what it is, it's a very simple, practical system for expanding an internal experience of what I call love consciousness, which is a place of peace and joy, and stabilizing that experience. So we walk around in that anchored state of present moment awareness, but also experiencing this internal security. And how do we get to that point? Well, initially we have to eliminate stress and a lot of our limiting beliefs and start to change the way we're being by becoming aware of how we're being. You know, often we're just running and looking for happiness in the future moment, or sabotaging this moment with past memories of old moments that we didn't enjoy so much. So we're not really loving ourselves, we're not really present, and we're not really seeing clearly. We have a sort of a tainted vision because we're looking through all of our stress and limiting beliefs. So from the experience of love consciousness, we start to evolve and change. And as I change, pleasantly, so does the world.
Wonderful. So your new book, Love Has Wings, Free Yourself from Limiting Beliefs and Fall in Love with Life, you mentioned changing the world. Now, this is... It's as I'm reading this book, you're talking to the individual, but it seems like there's a broader goal here of changing planetary awareness. And can you describe that?
Well, I travel all over the world, and my message is simple. You know, world peace is a responsibility of each individual. We're always out waiting for a politician or some event to take place that's going to change our perception of reality. And really, life isn't that bad. Life's quite fabulous and wonderful. It depends on what we're focused on in each moment. And as more people are choosing to focus and choose for love, consequently, the world changes. So I heal my world, and as a consequence, I'm healing the whole world. Mm. And as I evolve and choose for love instead of a fear, everyone around me starts to mirror that externally.
Beautifully said. And so there are three parts to the book. The first one is breaking down illusions. And so I wanted to talk about that because you have a number of illusions that so many of us seem to believe. The first one is I am a victim. And your counter advice for that belief is to remember that you are in control of your own life. So let's talk about the victim mentality that so many of us have.
You know, victim consciousness is a place of absolute immaturity, and it's not to do with age, it's to do with awareness. And we love to be constantly complaining and blaming the outside or wanting to change the outside, and we're making it responsible for our discontent. But in reality, I have to heal internally and I have to change myself. Once I become the abundance of love, I'm not needing to take from the outside. So I'm not trying to fill this empty well of discontent and wallowing around in that. I start to get rid of what doesn't serve in my life and I start to become a responsible being that takes responsibility for what they're creating. You know, we love to blame our partners, the government, the children. We love to blame anything for why we're not happy. Mm-hmm. But it's actually a choice we can make in each moment because how I'm being is my responsibility. How I'm responding is my responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the external.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious, Isha, when did you first come to experience this realization in your life, first noticing, wow, I'm really having this victim mentality, and then how did you personally move beyond it?
Well, I could see that my happiness was always placed externally because I had an enormous fear of abandonment. I was adopted, so it provoked a lot of fear in me. And I could see that I was having to control everything externally. And I got to a point where I didn't want to do that anymore. You know, I went through a big transformation at 28 because I lost everything in my world, like literally, emotionally. I lost many members of my family and my financial security. So that started the awakening. But it wasn't until a bit later that I really took absolute responsibility for healing the separation from love within myself. You know, I could see that I was always begging for it externally. I mean, it sounds bad, doesn't it? But it didn't look that bad. It was well masked and covered. But underneath, I really didn't feel like I deserved love. And I was constantly overachieving in order to give myself value, you know. So people would approve of me. I'd be successful or I'd be beautiful or I'd be something. Mm-hmm. So that I was receiving external approval. And I wasn't approving of me. Mm-hmm. So it was a big transformation. The capacity to be responsible for everything in each moment is in reality absolute freedom because it comes from a place of empowerment and love.
Now, Isha, thank you for that. And I'm curious because here I am on my journey and I talk about this on the show and I have moments of clarity where I'm just so in the zone and then I'm back feeling sorry for myself and like a victim. And it's just sort of this up and down for me. I have yet to get to this point where I'm like zen all the time. So I'm wondering, do you still have those moments where you're in victim mentality or have you been able to get past that?
You know I create everything. And so I'm, you know, I've got no choice now. I have to take responsibility. And this is where the experience of love consciousness is so important because it's as if we have to build our house on a very strong foundation. And once we have this place that is so much deeper and so much more profound than the duality of the intellect's always looking for what's wrong. It's always trying to make us into victims. And it's a very strong hold because we've been doing it since we were like 4 years old. Mm-hmm. And once we find this place, the tools that I teach allow you to be constantly connecting with that. And it's as if when the victim appears, you just basically throw it all back into the ocean and then it gets overshadowed by the experience of consciousness. So initially I teach people to be absolute victims, to be totally human, totally ridiculous, to really expose everything to themselves and to see beyond that, like to go into it to such an extent that they like emerge from that experience with an absolute clarity, well, this doesn't serve, and start to focus on what does serve, and that's the love. And of course, it's a choice in each moment, but the experience of love is what's fundamental. It's not just an idea, oh, I'm going to be loving, or oh, I'm going to forgive, or oh, I'm not going to be resented. You really have to remove that energy from your system because it's something that's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. So, Isha, I'm curious. I don't want to talk too much about the victim mentality, but so many of us are stuck in it. And I find for myself, while I am conscious of knowing that I create my own reality and knowing that the circumstances of my life are my own responsibility, I'm still stuck in that middle place where I'm aware of it, but I don't always feel confident in that control, secure.
Somehow. The thing is, one of our greatest addictions is to suffer. Mm. And we enjoy it. We swear we don't. We fight. I hate suffering, you know. But it's not true. There is a part of us that likes to suffer. And we have to get beyond that point. But, you know, if you're aware of that, I mean, what a great point to be in. Because the moment you can see something, it's like if you're addicted to alcohol. Once you recognize you're addicted, you can stop being addicted. But, you know, so if you have that awareness, it's just a matter of time. Mm. It's just a matter of choice. And it's a choice in each moment, you know, and being gentle within the choice. Like often you fall back into old addictions, and victimism is the addiction to suffering, really. Mm. And it can be changed. Of course it can be changed.
Wonderful. And that also takes us into the next illusion, that comfort is king, because you talk about how we don't necessarily want to work hard. We'd rather just be comfortable. Mm. And it's interesting how when we get into our old patterns or addictions, negative relationships, mm. I mean, there are people who stay in miserable relationships mainly for the sake that misery is more comfortable than doing what it takes to change it, or the fear of the unknown, of being alone, or all of that. So let's talk about why people try to remain in their kind of comfort zone, and how do you break past that?
Well, you know, the greatest fear humans has letting go of control. And even if they're miserable, they feel like they're in control of their misery. But when you start to cut that branch and jump into places that you don't feel secure, that's really when you start to live. You know, if I'm challenging myself each day, if I'm evolving each day, it's incredible how much more vibrant I am, how I wake up joyful, how I'm evolving, because that's why we're here. We're here to evolve. But when we just stay in the same place and we just wallow and go round and round and round, our lives become very stagnant. Like, we're not enjoying our lives, and we're constantly blaming the outside for our own misery. Mm-hmm. And that's becomes our whole existence. It sounds a bit dim and gloomy, doesn't it? But that's how it is, no?
All right. Well, it's time for a break already. We are speaking with Isha Judd. She is the author of Love Has Wings, Free Yourself from Limiting Beliefs and Fall in Love with Life. And she's going to be at the Vancouver Public Library downtown in what's the building?
The Alice McKay Room.
Alice McKay Room at the downtown branch of the gorgeous Vancouver Public Library at 7 o'clock. And that's going to be free tonight in Vancouver. So this is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and I just want to say again hello to Prince George and hello to Kamloops, because I'm so excited that Synchronicity is now airing on CBFX and CFIS. So we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a flash.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca. Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're joined by Isha Judd. She is the author of Love Has Wings, Free Yourself from Limiting Beliefs and Fall in Love with Life. And Isha, it's such a pleasure to have you here. And your book, Why Walk When You Can Fly, it's an Isha method. What's the name of it again?
The Isha system.
The Isha system. There we go. And you touch on it a little bit at the end of this book. Mm-hmm. And tonight at the library, what are you going to be sharing with people?
Well, I'm going to be talking about the system. I'm going to be talking about how to cultivate an experience of love consciousness that you can have permanently whilst you're walking around and in a normal, busy, active life. I'm going to talk about the importance of letting go of everything that's based in a low vibration that takes us into a place of addiction and suffering. And by simply choosing for this energy, for experiencing love in each moment, how quickly we start to evolve. I'm going to share my story, obviously, about how I got to this point, because I'm a very modern woman that went through all the same dramas and extremes that everyone else goes through. And how we can come out of that place, and how much easier it is to come out of that place and start to be the love in each moment, to be the consciousness in each moment. And I think sometimes people have this idea that spirituality is separate from a modern busy life, and it's not true. It's an addition. It's something I can incorporate into every moment. I can be excellent in every moment. I could be a business person, a mother, or whatever, and take responsibility for my joy in how I'm being in each moment instead of in what I'm doing.
Hmm. Beautiful. And so also I wanted to talk about you talk about the seven deadly sins. Okay. In your book, and how we don't want to reject aspects of ourselves, because I keep bringing it back to this. You get to the point where you are self-aware,
mm-hmm.
that you're doing these things that aren't effective, aren't healthy, aren't in love consciousness. And so many times it's almost like ignorance is bliss. Once you're aware that you're doing it, you're kind of like, oh no, I'm doing it again. And you just judge yourself constantly.
Well, I think that's one of the first illusions. I am a sinner and I should atone for my sins. And, you know, we love this one because even if we're not severely religious, I think it's something that's inbuilt. And we love it because when we can suffer and we can replay the sin over and over and over and the terrible things that we've done over and over in order to torture ourselves whenever we think it's appropriate, which could be daily or it could be weekly or whatever. So I think that's one of the things that we have to learn to let go of, you know, to just completely let go and say, okay, I did this. Maybe I didn't like the consequences, but now I'm going to use it to evolve and I'm going to be happy that I had that experience because now I can make a new choice. Because the only thing that defines me is what I'm doing in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not what I did in the past. You know, we all did things in the past because we were coming from fear. You know, we're ignorant. In a lot of levels. So just to evolve, and I suppose you'd call it to forgive yourself and to move on, mm-hmm. you know. So that's the first one.
Should we go over them?
Yeah, sure. The next one's lust.
Oh, lust. And that's a good one.
Yeah, well, that's my favourite, actually. I don't know if I'll give that one up. No. you know, I could see that this constant need to get external gratification is really a total addiction, and it's something that's so it's so non-gratifying in a permanent way, you know. Nothing's ever enough, you're never getting enough, you're always needing more, and you're constantly breaking up in relationships or looking for it externally, and it's just a way to escape yourself. It's like any other addiction, you know. If I've got all my attention externally, if that's where everything is happening, I'm really not having to look at myself. And it's also a place where we take. It's not mm-hmm. a place where we're giving. You know, if we have functional relationships, I guess I would imagine that it's so important that you're giving love, because that's the nature of love, to give. But I think often lust is just a place where we're constantly demanding and taking.
Mm-hmm. And it's part of our suffering too, because then when we have it, it's great, and then it's gone, because mm-hmm. you can't be in that lust state, can't be getting that attention or that stimulation all the time. So just like any addiction, when you're using it, it's distracting you, it's making you feel better, but then when it's gone, even momentarily, it's like and it just, you feel that emptiness that much stronger.
Sure. Well, all addictions are like that, no? Mm-hmm. They have a high and a low. Of course. And then, unfortunately, the high needs to be more next time. Mm. And it's constantly more and more and more and more. And, yes, it's exactly what you're saying. We're trying to fill an internal emptiness. And ultimately, the only thing that can fill that emptiness is something that's real, and that's the unconditional love. You know, that's permanent and it's real.
So what's the next one?
The next one's gluttony.
Oh, another one.
You know, and we use gluttony in order to avoid ourselves. Like, we repress everything, often with gluttony, and sometimes with lust it's emotional, but with often we eat too much or we have our addictions and we're constantly consuming, and again, we're trying to fill an internal place. And it's also a place where I'm saying, I don't have enough. You know, there's never enough. And I just constantly take from the outside. And when you become complete within the experience of unconditional love, it's the exact opposite. You start to give. I know these are basically the same things, all of them. You can talk about lust, gluttony, greed, all of the things that we sloth. It's all the same. It's places where we're taking, mm-hmm. you know.
And that's the number three, illusion number three in part one of your book is the illusion that there isn't enough.
Mm.
And you counteract that with the belief that we have everything we need and could ever want. And it's interesting that you'd mentioned, I'm not sure which page in the book, but how people, even in where you are in Uruguay, where your center is, where now, the mentality of the world has changed, where people used to live off the land, and now instead they get caught up in this monetary system that we're all using in this society, where they're, you know, having to kill gorillas and things like that to be able to provide money, when in reality, if we weren't so wrapped up in having more, 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 take, 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 there would be more than enough for everybody.
You know, there isn't any lack. Because everything's energy, and basically it's an illusion, and we can create whatever we want. You know, we've always had exactly what we need in each moment, because that's why we're still here. And yes, because we experience so much fear based in lack as individuals and as a country, as countries, you know, there's extreme levels of poverty and extreme levels of wealth. And in reality, there's enough abundance for everyone, but that abundance has to be internal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I noticed that when I was always constantly focused on making more, 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 it was never enough. I'd set a goal, I'd get to the goal, and then there would be the next goal and the next goal and the next goal. So why was that? Oh, because internally I was empty. And when I became internally abundant, I always had exactly what I needed. And often the idea of more was like a bit of a headache, because with more comes more problems, more bills, more everything, mm-hmm. you know. And I find now that just to be complete within yourself, everything comes so much easier. You don't have to struggle, because once you open to receive, once you feel that you deserve this lack, because often people can be multimillionaires and live in lack. Lacks an experience and a mindset. It's not about what you have.
Mm-hmm. And so, Isha, I'd like to talk about the difference between being a victim and being a creator, because it sounds like you're really wanting to help and inspire and coach people to move beyond that victim mentality, beyond that lack mentality, to the creator. So what, aside from love, which really is everything, is there anything else that energetically is different between victim and creator?
You know, creators give. Creators are focused on being excellent in each moment, because they're defining themselves through their actions. You know, often we go to a job and we blame the job because we're miserable, and we sit there and we complain about our co-workers, or we complain about the boss, and then we do it collectively within the company. Whereas if you go into work and you think, oh, how can I give? You know, how can I inspire my coworkers? How can I do an excellent job in each moment? And this allows me to polish myself. It's not about who I'm doing it for. If I'm doing it for myself in each moment to define myself, and then all of a sudden I start to experience joy, and I start to be full of energy, and I start to be happy with myself because I'm being excellent. And that's the difference, you know. Creators give and victims take. They're always feeling sorry for themselves. Nothing's ever good enough. You know, when I get a new job or a new partner or a new whatever, then I'll be happy. And it has that energy. Whereas if you focused on praise, love and gratitude in every moment, the most mundane can become joyful because I have to take the joy into the being. I have to be the joy. It's not going to come to me.
Hmm.
And that's the secret. That's the biggest secret.
Wonderful. And so, Isha, I'm just wondering if you have any little exercises, or also I want to put out the phone number because I'm sure that there are some fans of your work listening right now. 604-822-2487 if you'd like to get on the air and ask Isha a question. 604-822-2487. But do you have any little exercises to get into that love consciousness place?
Okay, so what I teach is the facets, and the facets take you straight into the experience of love consciousness. You think them in your mind, and the facets create a coherency between the right and left hemisphere of the brain, and you put your attention in the heart, and you drop into that experience of love consciousness. And the first facet is praise love for this moment in its perfection, and then you place your attention in your heart. And if you do that with your eyes closed, praise love for this moment in its perfection and place your attention on your heart, leave a little bit of a space and then gently come back to repeating the facet in your mind, you'll start to drop deeper and deeper into an experience of consciousness. And everything that doesn't resonate in that vibration will start to elevate and motivate like stuck emotions and stress and different things to leave, and you'll start to cultivate an internal experience. There's four facets in the book, and it teaches you how to use them and how to practice them and how to get this moving. It's very simple.
Beautiful. And one of the illusions that you want to destroy in part one of your book, again, there's so many. There's being passive protects me from making mistakes. So many people, they get stuck in that place of, well, I just mess everything up, so I'm just not going to make any decisions, which that is a choice in itself. You're making a decision not to make a decision.
Absolutely. You know, passivity is like the handmaiden of victimism. No, but I didn't do anything, or I didn't say that, or I, you know, you don't want to move out of that comfort zone because you're afraid that something bad's going to happen, but in reality something terrible is happening in this moment because you've actually stopped living and you've got no passion for life. And it's a place where people won't take responsibility, like they just float around and, oh, well, this is my lot, and, oh, well, that's okay. And it leads to resentment, a lot of suppressed anger and disillusionment, and ultimately passivity is really has a lot to do with depressions and all the things that don't bring us joy in our lives. I mean, this world's so incredible. There's so much beauty outside. There's so many places that you can give and vibrate. And, you know, joy should be everyone's experience because the world isn't bad at all. It's quite marvelous. I think we need to lighten up and really just get out there and be joyful and start to praise and give gratitude for what we have. You know, I drive here to this university today, and I to live in Vancouver is unbelievable. I mean, what an incredibly beautiful city. How could you look at those mountains and be miserable? You'd have to say to yourself, well, there must be something wrong internally with me because really I live in a paradise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Vancouver is so beautiful.
Yeah,
when did you get into town?
4 days ago, and then I went out to Port Hardy, is it? And I went right out into the wilderness, which was just, oh, beyond words.
Wow.
You know, and I'm Australian and we think we have the best country, but I don't know, I have to err on that one now. After being here in Canada, it's spectacular.
It is. Yesterday I went to down to the seawall and had drinks in Granville Island, and we were just watching the boats, and it was just so, it was like the perfect day with the breeze and warm and gorgeous and just so blessed to live. That's why everyone wants to live here. Well,
sure.
Everyone who knows about it does. We just tell everyone else that it rains all the time and that you don't want to come here, but it's actually pretty fantastic.
It's gorgeous. I don't know about the warm thing. I didn't experience that yet.
Oh, well, from
that's
your
a perception,
used
isn't
to it.
It
for Vancouver, this is warm.
I saw crazy Canadians on the riverbank today in bikinis, and I was like, oh, my God. I've got my sweaters and just...
Well, for Vancouver, it's warm. We're happy to have this weather. So, but it's interesting how so many of these illusions that we need to break down, just like the seven deadly sins. I mean, number six is I am separate. And it all, I mean, it, pretty much every illusion is connected to that feeling of lack, separateness, not taking rather than giving. Mm-hmm. And it's just interesting. But how do you deal with that feeling of separateness that so many of us experience, even though when we're on a spiritual path, we have this belief that we are all connected, and yet so many of us are still feeling separate and feeling alone and at moments stuck in a victim mentality. So how did you get to the point? I mean, do you just constantly remind yourself in every moment?
No. So this is a really good point, because in reality, it's the only thing that's creating all of our discontent is the illusion of separation from the greatness of who we are. And when we're children, we live perfectly in the moment. We don't have judgment. We perceive ourselves as perfect. We speak the truth. We're vulnerable. We feel our emotions. You know, we're the epitome of innocence and joy all the time. You know, even children that are suffering physically still have that capacity. And there's no external prejudice or judgment. So what happens is, at some moment in our lives, we create this separation, and it takes us into the duality of the human experience. And humans experience love and fear, and they start to look externally for security. So, but what we find is it's never enough, because we have that memory, no, of that unconditionality, that perfection, that present moment awareness. And we get to a point where we can see that whatever we're doing externally, no matter how big our fences are or our protections are, that in reality, all they're doing is separating us, and we're imprisoning ourselves. And we get to the point where we want to reunite, because that's our nature, to be in union with totality. So when we start to go in and touch on love consciousness, we start to realize that that love consciousness is in everything. So initially, we experience it internally, and then we start to experience it externally. And that's when we become completely responsible for everything, because we know that I am that. There's nothing other than that which I am. And the separation is totally an illusion. And I think this, we talk about the world evolving, and all humans need to start focusing internally on finding that internal unity. And then the need to take or to suffer will diminish by itself, because it's another illusion. Fear's an illusion. It's a low vibration of love, and it can be elevated into high vibration of union. So that was all very complicated, wasn't it? But to know that, you have to experience it. It's totally experiential. You can't wake up each morning and convince yourself that you are not separate. You have to be the experience of union. And that comes through the expansion of consciousness.
So, Isha, you're going to be at the library tonight, at the Vancouver Public Library, in the Alice McKay room. At 7 o'clock. And so now I'm curious what goes on at your center in Uruguay. What's that like? Like a spa, or what do you do?
I just put the spa to attract the gringos, no? What it is it's a center where you go inwards a lot and practice the system. And I have trained 30 teachers that work with me, traveling all over the world as well, teaching the Isha system. And these teachers support you unconditionally 24 hours a day. So what we do is we go in and we start to expand love consciousness. Obviously, we start to see all of the places that we need to let go of. Often we move emotions, but we really start to connect with ourselves, and we start to see the habits we have that stop us from living in peace and joy permanently, and we start to remove them. The centre's in a... When people hear spa, they think massages, and we don't do that.
Oh.
The spa is on the ocean. It's completely vegetarian. Not that we have a problem with meat, people that eat meat, but it's the food in the centre is vegetarian. And it's just the most beautiful haven to go and to go really profoundly within and to leave. And this for me is the most important thing, to really leave the centre with the tools to be independent. You know, not just I experience peace when I'm at the centre. I need to take that home and incorporate it into my life. And, you know, I think it's a place where you can really learn to love yourself exactly as you are, and that's the key. It's about learning to love yourself unconditionally. And needless to say, as a consequence, you start to extend that love. And we have couples coming that are on the verge of divorce. We have whole families coming. I have a lot of students that I've had for many, many years, you know, over 12 years, I've been accumulating students throughout South America, and they come to recharge. We also have a beautiful centre in Mexico, which is much more accessible to the Canadians, in a place called Manzanillo, and that's the same. It's a place where you can come, go inwards, transform, and really go home completely different. And another beautiful aspect of it is it's very, very, very accessible to everyone.
So when you say it's very accessible to everyone, how do you mean?
Well, in terms of the price, it's $55 a day. So I think that's about accessible as you get.
Yeah.
And that includes all your food, everything. So, yeah, we've kept it like that because we live in South America. And so that it's a place where everyone can come and really do some major transformation.
Wonderful. Oh, I love that. Accessible is good.
And yes, it's on the ocean too.
Beautiful. Very nice. So do you do workshops? Do you do like a group, like sweat lodges, or what are
no,
some
okay,
of the little
so we
things
teach
that you
the
do?
System, and it looks a bit like meditation, but it's not exactly the same. So we do that in group. We practice together in group. We study the book. I give darshan, where I answer all the questions about consciousness, and then we do meetings. And we teach people how to express, how to move what's going on with them, how to start speaking their truth, taking off the mask, being vulnerable. You know, we teach you a lot of tools that then you incorporate back into your life when you go home, and how to move the energy. You know, like often, especially people from more cultures like Australia, Canada, America, I don't know what you call those cultures. We call them first world. We learned very much to disconnect from everything. Like we don't really connect with ourselves. So you learn how to do that too. And once you start to connect and you start to empty everything out, you start to have this really beautiful experience of love consciousness. Not just when you're doing the practice, but permanently. You start to stabilize that perpetually. And I think that's, it should be the only thing compulsory in life, to have a permanent experience of love consciousness, because once you build your house on that foundation and you're so in contact with your internal omniscience and clarity, everything starts to change. But, you know, loving yourself is the greatest gift you can give to yourself.
And thank you. And Isha, I'm curious when now, a question that's come up for me is, since you've been able to more consistently connect with this love consciousness, do you find that your intuition is better? Because there's one, I've written it down somewhere here, about not analyzing. Because we so many times we just analyze everything to death. And even when we have our what feels like intuition, we're like, oh, is that really intuition? Or is that my fear? Or is that my ego? And so how has your intuition improved?
You know, that's the duality of the intellect. And it's a place that the intellect wants to have control all the time. Because its greatest fear is consciousness. Because consciousness is based in omniscience and unity. And it trusts itself implicitly. Now, once you're anchored in that experience, you're in the moment. And the intellect's job's to maintain the human experience and keep you out of the moment and in doubt, so that you're not completely embracing your own power. That's why there's always this could be right, could be wrong. And I think the first thing we need to learn is that we can't make a mistake. We're just having another experience. Like, we take everything so seriously. We think everything's life and death, but it's not. I have an internal omniscience or an internal awareness, and I need to start trusting that. And the more I trust it, the more I have these insights and I move with these insights, because they're very clear when they happen. The doubt comes when the intellect starts analysing. And you get to the point when you've really stabilised love consciousness where you trust that implicitly. And it's always leading towards more love. You know, it's not provoked by fear. It's always leading towards more greatness. And it's so important to trust that, because that's another one of our biggest addictions, doubting ourselves, not trusting our capacities, and not challenging them either. So, you know, if you start looking at life as an adventure instead of looking at it through the eyes of fear, like everything's going to be a disaster, things start to change as well. Just start saying yes.
Well, it's interesting how you talked about what happened when you were, I believe it was 28, when you just lost pretty much everything that had been keeping you feeling comfortable in your life, feeling safe, you know.
Kept me everything, yeah.
But so many of us, you know, we go through life with, we go to school with the feeling that, okay, we have to go to school to learn so that we can get a job. Then we have to get a job, and then we have to behave ourselves so that we can hopefully work long enough to get some kind of 401k or retirement plan. Or, I mean, that's shifting now because jobs are not as secure. But, I mean, people live their lives pursuing that security. Like, oh, I have to do this. I have to stay in line so that everything, I maintain the status quo and everything stays in this little compartment. And so in your book, you actually talked about how, I mean, I can imagine at the time it was devastating and terrifying to lose everything.
Yes.
And at the same time, it was so freeing because you had nothing now holding you back from pursuing your life.
You know, I think for me it was more than that, because I had, even when I lost everything, I had a lot of freedom and I was doing what I was passionate about. But the thing was, I thought I was my things. I thought I was my family. I thought I was all these external things, and it made me find something more permanent. And then I realized that I could have a million different experiences with this internal security. And it's not that I had to do anything outrageous. You know, it's not about breaking from the establishment. It's about finding an internal establishment that's more permanent, because there's one thing constant with the illusion, and that's change. You know, you can do everything perfectly. You can graduate from school. You can get your degree. You can get married and have 2.5 kids and get a good mortgage and do everything. And you can lose it the next day. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you know, we have to have something more permanent and constant, something that's there forever, and that's love.
Beautifully said. Well, it's time to take a break. We are speaking with Isha Judd. She is the author of Love Has Wings, Free Yourself from Limiting Beliefs and Fall in Love with Life. And she's going to be at the Vancouver Public Library this evening in the Alice McKay Room at 7 o'clock. That's the Vancouver Public Library downtown in Vancouver. And 7 o'clock, and that's a free talk. So if you want to go check it out tonight, you can do that. And we'll be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
Artist Center MIST welcomes their 20th anniversary by inviting the public to join them for two popular art events this spring. Event 1 is a free roundhouse exhibit and birthday party on May 16th. One day only at the Roundhouse Community Center at 181 Roundhouse Mews in Yaletown. There will be an artist reception from 7 to 10 p.m. and don't miss out on the birthday cake bash at 8. Following up the birthday bash, there will be a free open studios walk on May 19th through the 21st. Studios will be open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and to see participating artists and a map, visit the website at artistsinourmidst.com.
The world's most shocking monster.
That techno rock you guys listen to is gutless.
I'm sure.
And the only reason you don't understand our music is that you don't like it.
After I'm gone, your Earth will be free to live out its miserable span of existence.
Can anyone stop their mechanical mayhem?
All of my most sensitive areas were inflamed. My extremities pulsating with tingling sensation.
Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology.
Swaying back and forth. A beautiful thing taking me away.
You are a robot.
You must listen to Synaptic Sandwich.
Saturday nights from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. on CITR FM 101.9.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined by Isha Judge. She's the author of Love Has Wings, Free Yourself from Limiting Beliefs and Fall in Love with Life. And we're also joined here in studio by Arthur. Tell us what you do with Isha.
Hello. Well, I have been with Isha for 12 years now, practicing her system, and I trained as a teacher to teach it. I'm originally from England, but I have been based in South America with Isha. And it's been incredible for us. On a personal level, it's been incredible for me. I healed a lot of things personally, especially around the loss of my mother when I was 14 years old. So the system really, as Isha was saying, it helps us to find that inner stability when the world around us is not as stable as we would like it to be. And I think that that's something that is more and more important and more evident in the world today, when everything's so unpredictable. And just on a global scale, we're seeing that even countries where we thought life was fairly stable, we really don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And I think that what Isha offers us is something really quite unique, in that it's completely experiential. It's extremely simple, and on the surface, a lot of people like myself, when we first start, we think, well, isn't this a bit too simple? And that's really a central part of Isha's message, is that love is simple. And what's complex are our worries and our concerns and our fears and the confusion that we create in our own intellects that stops us from finding that simplicity of love.
Beautifully said. I love that.
And
you're going to be at the event this evening as well, if people want to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as Isha was saying, we're a group of 30 teachers who are all very passionate about sharing this. And anybody who wishes to find that inner space of stability is very welcome to come and share with us tonight.
Beautiful. And so do you teach... Oh, and what's the webpage?
Sure. They can find out more at ishajudd.com, which is ishajudd.com.
Wonderful. And so do you teach in Uruguay or in Mexico?
Yes and yes.
Both?
And around the world. We travel a great deal.
Wonderful. So I guess between the 30 teachers, you're sort of at one location and move around, and there's always someone there.
Oh,
it might not be
at
you,
the centers,
but
yes. I go back for special events. I sort of oscillate between the two centers.
Wonderful. Well, we just have a few minutes left in the show. Parts Unknown is coming up in a few minutes here on CITR. So I'm wondering, what do you feel like is the most important message that you want to get across today on the show, aside from going to your talk tonight at Vancouver Public Library at 7 p.m. That's a free talk in the Alice McKay room. What else would you like to make sure that people hear
tonight?
You know,
it's a fairly basic message, but I think the most important thing any human can do is learn to love themselves unconditionally and become the actions of unconditional love. And as a consequence, the whole world changes. It's just phenomenal. Because when I heal myself, I bring peace to the world. And it's something that's so natural for us to find the energy of love consciousness, to let go of everything that doesn't resonate in that experience. And life becomes light and joyful and successful. You know, you can start to really create what you want.
Beautiful. And when you say create what you want, I just want to touch on that because so many people these days, when they get into spirituality, because they hear that you can be the creator of your destiny, and so they want to get what they want, like the money and the cars and the, you know, all the lustful, greedy stuff. So how is this different from getting what you want?
Well, you think you want that, but I know you want something much more.
Yes.
Once you love yourself unconditionally, it's so funny because the attachment to everything external becomes so secondary, and as a consequence, it comes. You know,
so ironic. You're craving it so much, and so you're constantly chasing, and it doesn't come. And then as soon as you don't need it, it's there.
It's like the perfect relationship. Once you no longer need a relationship, that's when the blueprints turns up.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you and hanging out with you, Isha. Again, ishajudd.com. And if you want to go to the public library tonight, that's at the Alice McKay Room in the downtown branch, 7 o'clock, and that's a free talk. Anything else you want to add before we close?
Nothing.
Okay.
But thank you very much for your lovely interview. It's absolutely a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Okay, so this has been Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. And whoa, what am I doing here? I'm getting ready to play a song. Parts Unknown is coming up in just a moment. So I'm going to leave you with another song by Mark Stanton Welsh. And this is called Right Here, Right Now, here on Synchronicity. I just want to send my love to you. Again, welcome Kamloops and Prince George to the Synchronicity family. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
Oh, it's somewhere and it's sometime. An unfamiliar trail. A hopeful destination, a half-lived fairy tale, and I'm on the road, and a feeling lights my way. No matter what unfolds, I'll be okay. And the highway pulls me onward, I'm beckoned by the moon. There's an answer in here somewhere. Everything's a clue, and I am on the road. And though a part of me it kicks and screams to stay, I know no matter what, I'll be okay. All the traveling, it's lonely. It's forever at this wheel. I relive some lost affection as I search for something real. And I'm on the road. Oh, I just might lose my way. But I know no matter what, I'll be okay. Oh, I'll be okay. Is this the promise of tomorrow?
Is this the promise of tomorrow?
Is this the future's luring call? Is this my ticket to the golden gate of heaven? Or just my last hurrah? All the miles move like clockwork, and there's nothing to impede. I'm trusting in God's highway, I'm moving at full speed. And I am on the road, and this could be my perfect day. For I know no matter what, I'll be okay. Oh, it's people and it's places. It's the highway's haunting song. It's the wisdom of experience that pulls this man along. And I'm on the road, and all that I can say is I know no matter what, I'll be okay.
I will be okay.
Sometime, an unfamiliar trail, a hopeful destination, a half-lived fairy tale.